pray for me, brother. Thank the Lord for the prayer that's been offered. And very, very thankful to see each and every one of you that are here this morning. As always, we ask you to remember us in your prayers as we make an effort to speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And the account that I'm going to read in your hearing this morning, I know is very familiar to all of you. Pray that he would bless us as we look at it together with liberty to speak the things that would be pleasing to him this morning. Mark chapter 10, we begin reading right at verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Beautiful account given in God's Word of the work of Jesus Christ in the life of one of his little children. One that I believe that he loved in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. That he came into this world to save, and not only save eternally, which is so vitally and wonderfully important, but to give him every blessing that he stood in need of here as he lived here in this world. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. We think of this one as blind Bartimaeus, but today I'd like to talk about him as blessed Bartimaeus. That though he was blind, he was blessed. I thought about that hymn that we sing, "Count Your Blessings," and name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We think about a person who had lived his life in blindness. That wouldn't have been, in the estimation of so many, a very valuable existence. It certainly wouldn't have been one that we would want it. Our eyesight is so important to us. And once you start losing your eyesight, you really appreciate how much it has meant to you. And as your eyes begin to fail and you can't see like you used to, I know I miss being able just to stand here in the pulpit and not have to worry about these specs, not have to worry about whether I have to have them cleaned or anything else, but just to be able to look down very quickly and find something in the Bible. I'm finding my need is getting more and more for bigger print all the time. Every time I go to look at the Bible, it seems like the print's getting smaller. So the larger the print for me now, the better. And the eyes are very, very valuable. Can't hardly imagine what it would have been like if I had never been able to see in my life, or if there had been a point where I could see and then I had lost my sight. I think a little sister, Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many of our hymns as we're singing them, I encourage you sometimes just to look up at who wrote them. And we have some amazing writers that have pen those wonderful hymns that we sing and how much they mean to us. And the writer Fanny Crosby wrote so many beautiful hymns. She says in one of them, "And I will see him one day face to face. I'll see him when I see him face to face." And that means a lot to all of us, but how much it must it mean to someone who really hadn't had any eyesight or had never been able to see anything? Or I don't know her exact history, but I think she might have had it at one time and lost it. But there are some that are born that never do see. And the case with Bartimaeus was that he was blind, and we don't know from what point he was blind, but we know that he was blind and it had affected his life so much that he had to make his living by begging on the side of the road. And here he was by the highway side begging, which was his course of livelihood, begging for something to be given to him to help him exist here in this world. And what an impact that would have on one's life. Somebody looking at that one said, "Well, that man certainly is not blessed. If he was blessed, he would have eyesight. If he was blessed, he would be able not to have to live his life begging. How could that man be blessed?" But I say to you from the Word of God that he was blessed in so many ways. We all can look at things today in our life that we would like for to have them different. We would like for them to be different. We would like to have some things removed from us. We have problems and troubles and conflicts. And if we get to dwelling on just what we don't have, we'll soon lose sight on all the many things that we do have. And as I read this passage about Bartimaeus, though he's a blind Bartimaeus, I thought, well, he's blind, but he's really, really blessed. And I think of dear brother Evan Olinger, who at many times as he lost his sight would say, "You know, though I can't see with my eyes, I am so thankful." He'd often say in his prayers, "I'm so thankful that though I can't see with my eyes, I can see with my spiritual eyes. And if I had to choose one over the other, I would certainly choose to have spiritual eyesight than all the natural eyesight of this world." Someone could have perfect vision, 20/20 vision, or even better than that, and be able to see the natural things of this world. And he might not be a blessed person in the most important way, and that is spiritual. I ask you today, are you blessed? And I think about my natural life and realize with all the things that I might want to list, and I really don't have a very long list compared to what others could list, that I would like to have changed. The Lord has been so very good to me. He's blessed me for these many years with a measure of health in a natural way. And he's blessed me with a wonderful family. And he's blessed me with a beautiful place to come to church. And he's blessed me with health enough to do it. He's blessed me to be able to make a living in this world. He's blessed me to have food on my table. He's blessed me to have clothes and all the many blessings of life that he supplied unto me. They are a great, great blessing. But if I had all that and missed the other blessings that he has supplied unto me, I would still be a miserable, miserable individual. I'll tell you, if the Lord has blessed you to know him, if the Lord has blessed you to know that he is, the scripture tells us that where they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And what Bartimaeus had, though he didn't have his eyesight, he had many natural blessings, didn't he? Of course. We read here is when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. You see, he was blessed, he did not have his eyesight, naturally speaking, but he did have his natural hearing. And when they came by and they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth," well, Bartimaeus had been blessed of the Lord. You see, if you have hearing, it isn't you who gave yourself hearing, it isn't me, it isn't even your mama or your daddy. If you have sight, it's the Lord who's given you your natural sight. If you have hearing, it's the Lord who's given you the natural hearing. And Bartimaeus had the hearing to be able to say, "Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth." But more importantly, he didn't just hear it was Jesus of Nazareth. He had an understanding of who that was. Listen, there are many who hear. Today as I speak, there may be those here. I pray that every one of you, I believe that every one of you is a little child of grace that's already been touched by the hand of God and wakened from a state of death to a state of life. And when the word is preached, you are able to hear it. But I don't want you just to hear it with your natural ears. Brother Mike mentioned in his prayer that the Lord has blessed us with spiritual understanding, where if He hadn't given us that understanding, though we might hear the truth, we wouldn't appreciate the truth. Though we might hear about Jesus, we wouldn't be able to understand or appreciate who He was. And though we might say, and someone might say, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, it might not mean anything to you. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't mean anything to you unless the Lord of heaven had revealed that unto you, that this person was special. See, Jesus was a man, but He wasn't just a man. Isn't that true? And there was one place where they said, Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some of them said, they say you're John the Baptist or Elias or Jeremiah. So one of the prophets, and he said to Peter, he said, but Peter and the rest of the disciples, he said, but who do ye say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he didn't say, well, Peter, you're really smart and the rest of them are really dumb. He didn't say that. He said, no, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, blind Bartimaeus was indeed blind, and he couldn't make his living other than sitting on the highway begging. But I'll tell you, when he heard about the name of Jesus, there were a lot of people who had their natural eyesight that didn't know who Jesus was. That even though they heard Jesus and had hearing to hear it, they didn't really hear it. Having ears, they could not hear. Having eyes, they could not see. And by the way, that's where we all are by nature. We have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear and a heart that cannot understand the things that pertain or that belong to them that love Him. And it is only by the Spirit of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that a man cannot say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God, but by the Holy Ghost. Today, if you can say, if Jesus of Nazareth means something to you, does it mean something to say His name? Does it mean something to call on Him? Does it mean something to pray in His name? Does it mean something today for us to look to Him and trust in Him? Has He been that friend for you? And has He been that friend for your family? When your family is in trouble, do you look to the Lord and pray in Jesus' name? When you stand in need, do you think, I need a friend? And you don't just think about daddy or mama or someone else, but you think about a Savior and one who was called Jesus. And by the way, He was called Jesus for a reason. And you know and understand what that reason is. If you understand that today, you're greatly, greatly blessed. You see, there are many people who hear the name of Jesus and rather than love Him, they hate Him. And bless Bartimaeus. That's what I'm going to call him this morning. I'm going to call him instead of blind Bartimaeus. I just want to call him blessed Bartimaeus. And I want you to know and understand, I believe you're blessed. I believe if the Lord has allowed you to come and hear the wonderful message of the gospel, you're blessed. And if you can hear it naturally, you're blessed with natural hearing. But more importantly, if you can hear it spiritually, can you hear it spiritually? Then you've been spiritually blessed. It's the Lord who's opened your ear. Man can't open your ear. I can't get loud enough or mean enough or kind enough or any other way. I can't scare you enough. If you can understand today, there was a Lord who loved you enough to leave the wonders of heaven. I don't know how beautiful heaven is, but it's got to be wonderful. I look at this world that the Lord has made and I see what a wonderful world. When I, as the hymn writer said, when I see the brook and the hills and all of that He has created, I simply can say how great thou art. And I attest to that. And that is a world that's sin-cursed, that is also looked at with eyes that are sin-cursed. What must it be to be able to view the beauties of heaven and all that the Lord holds for us and what awaits us in heaven? And Jesus left that wonderful place to come down to this earth and took upon Himself a body of flesh and was made like unto us so that He could go to the tree of the cross and take a little blind Bartimaeus one day with Him to heaven. You see, blessed Bartimaeus is not just sitting on the highway side of the road begging. I believe his soul and his spirit today is in glory, don't you? I believe he's with the Lord in glory. And that's because he was blessed. And not only he, but every one of God's little children that's been blessed in that same way of the wonderful new birth and the gift of God's grace in their life are now with the Lord in glory, and they're enjoying a fellowship that one day we long to see. And we have a sweet hope of one day being there with him. I have a hope one day being there with the, number one, with the Lord, but then with all of the Lord's people that have gone on before, and we'll have a sweet and glorious fellowship forever and ever without any end. And just to have that sweet hope, if the rest of your life was a mess, that would make life all worth it. To be, this life is what? It's just a vapor. It's here for a while, and it soon vanishes away. And haven't you seen that? How quickly the days pass. It's one thing I've noticed about retirement. You get up in the morning, and it's about 8 o'clock, and the next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock at night. And the time is gone. Now, whether you're working or whether you're retired, I guess that's the way it works. But it just seems like I can see. It used to be I didn't think about that too much. And now I can hear the clock click sometimes. I'm sitting there going, okay, it's time's passing. And then the day is gone. And I say, what happened? I was going to get this done and get that done and get all these things done. And that day is gone. And I look at it and I see not very much has been accomplished. I can say that about my life. The times pass so quickly, and those many things that I've thought are so important, having really in the light of what's really important meant very much at all. It's like the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, wrote, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity, all is emptiness." But I'll tell you what Bartimaeus was about to enjoy here on the road was not going to be emptiness. And if you and I can sit together in heavenly places this morning, and we can worship the Lord together, and we can sing songs of glory and honor and praise unto the Lord, and we can in our hearts, by the grace of God, believe that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says that He is, and that is the Savior of His people. His name shall be called Jesus. Matthew 1 and 21 says, "For He shall save His people from their sins." And I'm telling you, I believe Bartimaeus knew this man is my Savior. And we know that from his response. It says, by the highway side begging, but when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. I hope you and I are right there this morning. Every day, what do we need to do? I need to cry out to the Lord. Somebody said, when I'm in trouble, I want to cry out to the Lord. Can I tell you, you're in trouble every day? When do I need Him? I need Thee every hour. Every day, every hour, every moment. I need to be crying unto the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a Lord to look to every hour, every moment, every step of the way as we face the problems and the trials of this world? I'm telling you, if you can see that and know that, you're blessed. Because there are many who hear this story and think it's foolishness, think make light of it. There are many who would mock us for believing that. They mocked him for believing it. But I'll tell you what, it never caused him to step away. No, blind Bartimaeus, out of his great need of the Lord, continued to cry out. He knew he needed help. Listen, he was in trouble. And he knew, this is my help. And he knew that I need to keep crying. And by the way, the only way you could know that is by the grace of Almighty God. Over in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, we read that wonderful language that's so familiar to all of you, I'm sure, in John 6 and 44. Jesus says these words, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. It means that if you come to Jesus, it's the Father who's drawn you to come to Jesus. That if you're crying out to Him, it's the Father who's caused you to cry out to Him. If when you're in trouble, you look to Him and you say, "Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord," we don't go to the Lord and complain about everything that's wrong. At least we shouldn't. We might do that sometimes, but we're incorrect when we do it. We go thanking Him, and we go giving Him thanksgiving. We approach Him and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. But Lord, I'm in need today of your mercy. When do we need the Lord's mercy? I need it every day. His mercy endureth forever, and His mercy is great. And it was because of His great mercy that He had for us, and His love that He had for us, that He did what He did for us. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what He had shown under blessed Bartimaeus. Blessed Bartimaeus. And He says, no man can come to Me except the Father which You sent Me draw him. And then I love this promise. If the Lord has drawn you, somebody said, well, the Lord's drawing him, but He just won't come. The Lord's trying to get you. The Lord's trying to save you. The Lord's trying to convince you, but He's just so resistant, He's going to not come. I'm telling you, when God draws you, you come. The Scripture says, no man can come to Me except the Father which You sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up. You get this. Who is He going to raise up? Everyone that He draws. You know what that means? That means everyone that He draws comes. Everyone that He calls in this effectual way answers. Every one of them that He reaches down and gives life to are living, and they have life. They're not left with the choice of whether I'm going one way or the other. If that would be the case, you and I would have somebody to thank other than Jesus when we got to glory. But I'm telling you, every name, the only name that we're going to be praising in heaven is the precious name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus has never tried to save anyone. Again, as we mentioned over in Matthew 1 and 21, we read that wonderful message that the angel gave unto Mary about that little child that was in her and who it was that was there, and she being in question in 1 and 21. Matthew 1 and 21, I believe it is. He says it was really not to Mary, but it was to Joseph. He had already told Mary who this was. But here, Joseph was willing, he was going to put away Mary because she was with child and he had never known her. And he was not understanding what had taken place. And in Matthew 1 and 21, the angel, read verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen, today when we call on the name of Jesus, we want to remember what it means. There are many who call on Him and speak about Him that don't really believe He is what the Scripture says that He is. But I would that each one of us would understand who He is and see Him as such. It says, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save, get it, He shall save His people from their sins. Now, why was He called Jesus? Because He was going to save His people from their sins. How many of His people did He save? All of them. How many of their sins did He pay for? All of them. How many of those sins would be remembered against us anymore? None of them. How many of them did He remove from us? All of them. How many of them were placed upon Him? And He bore them at Calvary and paid the sin debt for them. Every one of them. How many of God's children will receive the blessings of what He did? Every one of them. How many of them will He lose? He will not lose one. How many of them will come to Him in regeneration? All of them will come to Him. How many of them will miss the salvation that is in Christ Jesus eternally? The answer is very clear. Not one single one. Everyone that is in the very they're written their names, not only their names, but they are written in the palm of His hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. No man is able to pluck them out of His hand. And He says, I and My Father are one. And I believe that's exactly what Bartimaeus saw when he saw Jesus. He said, when he had heard, and he was on the side of the road begging, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now get this. He not only had his hearing, but he had his voice. That's an important thing in the system, Arthur, to have your voice. It's an important thing to have. Your natural voice is an important thing. It's a great blessing to be able to speak. I've gone through enough vocal trouble to know when you lose your voice, it affects everything else. You think, well, you know, I think I could handle that pretty good. I'll tell you, it is a whole lot harder to handle than you think. Because you want to talk, especially if you love to talk. If you like to talk and you lose your voice, well, you can't talk. You can't share your ideas. You can't share your thoughts. And it's a wonderful thing to have a natural voice. But have you ever thought for a minute, if the Lord hadn't touched our lives, that there would have never been one good thing that ever came out of our lips? That our mouth, according to Romans 3, is full of bitterness and cursing. That our throat is an open sepulcher, which is an open grave, not just a grave that's open, but with a dead, decaying body in that grave, open. And there would be no good thing that would ever come out of our mouth. There would be no good thoughts in our mind. There would be nothing we'd be looking at other than to satisfy the lust of the flesh with our eyes. That if it had not been for the grace of God, even though it's a blessing to have a natural voice, there would never be a voice that would ever cry, "Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." The only thing that would come out of our voices would be that which would be dishonoring to God, and that would be satisfying the flesh, that would be harmful to other people and those around us. That all good things that we have in our life, every good sound we ever made with our voice, if it is indeed good, has been the result of God's grace. And blind Bartimaeus, blessed Bartimaeus, he not only had his hearing, but he had his voice. And with that voice, he did something very important. I hope you're doing that same thing this morning. I hope you're using your voice. And you say, "Well, I don't have much voice." Well, use what you got. My voice is not very good. Well, use what you got. The Bible says, as I told a little, actually I didn't tell one of the little patients over there. I said, "You know, we don't have to sing good. All we have to do is make a noise." And this one little woman over in the corner, she says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And I thought, "Amen, sister. You know what I'm talking about." And when we started singing those hymns, she was right there singing those verses. She was a blessing to my heart that day. She was an encouragement to me. And I know to others who watched her and saw her, I had talked with her and her mind was not very clear. But when it came time to making this noise, she knew exactly what she was making. And that voice would have never done that. That mouth would have never done that had not the Lord of glory touched her life. And I'll tell you, if you ever hear anyone, one of God's little children, the best they know how, making the joyful noise unto the Lord and praising Him, you remember to give God the glory, because that's to whom it belongs. Because otherwise, that mouth would be full of cursing and bitterness. And if something's full of it, you can't add to it. That means that's the only thing there's room for. And Romans 3 says that's the nature, that's where we all are. There's none good, no, not one. All of us would be in our unrighteousness. Isaiah 64 tells us that our unrighteousness is but as filthy rags. That our righteousness is but as filthy rags. How much more that which we would consider unrighteous, what it is. And I'll tell you, there'd be no hope for me, no hope for you, no hope for Bartimaeus, no hope for any man, woman, boy, or girl, except that one, that which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And here he began to cry out. I say to you every day, I need to cry out, and you need to cry out unto this same one that Bartimaeus, blessed Bartimaeus, was crying out to. And he cried out and he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And what he said in those words, which seemed to be so easily read, were just volumes. He cried out and called him Jesus. We've already talked about that. Jesus means Savior. He was declaring him to be a Savior. And he wasn't just calling him Lord and not with any sincerity. You know, a lot of people can sing the songs and not mean anything. A lot of people can say the name of Jesus and not mean anything. There's even verses that tell us, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" To call him Lord means to acknowledge him. And somebody said, "Well, he doesn't say Lord here." But if you go over in Matthew 20, he does say Lord there. And he was not alone. There was another one there with him. There were two that were on the side of the road, and both of them called him Lord. We don't know the name of the one brother, but we'll know it one day. Isn't that good? Bartimaeus, we know now. The Lord saw fit to include him in the volume of this book that we might know there's a Bartimaeus that's in heaven, that though he was blind and lived his life in the eyes of many that's a wasted life, I'm telling you, that was a little child of God that was there on the highway on the side of the road begging. And the Savior did not leave him there. He came where he was. And when he came there, he had exactly what he needed. And the Holy Spirit had allowed Bartimaeus to see it. And if you in this world have been able to see it, it's the Holy Spirit that arrested you. Just think what a mess we would be in had the Lord left us where we were in by nature. We were a child of wrath, even as others. Not one of us would have ever changed our course or changed our mind. None of us would be here this morning. We'd be somewhere else. Listen, there's too many things of this world going on. A lot of God's children are wrapped up in those things. Sometimes you and I get wrapped up in those things. Sometimes we come to church and have so much of it going on in our head. Sometimes you could sit here at the church worrying about what's going to happen on Monday night on the debates, or even Monday night on the football game, or what's going to happen when this comes or that comes, or what I'm going to do on the job, or how am I going to get along in this whole world, and we miss what's so very important. Listen, today we've met to worship the Lord. We've met to cry unto Him, and we've been given an eye to be able to see Him. We've been given an ear to hear Him and to hear His Word. We've been given a voice to be able to cry out unto Him, and we ought to be crying, and crying just what blessed Bartimaeus was crying. He cried out, Jesus. He cried out, Thou Son of David. He said, this is Jesus of Nazareth. No, he knew it was Jesus, Thou Son of David. Now the Son of David, as we read throughout the Old Testament, is the name of the Messiah, the one that was promised of God to come, the one that was the promised Messiah, the one Isaiah wrote about, that he told about, that the Lord had appointed to come to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop the ears, to do all the wonderful things. He's the Lord's anointed. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. His name is Jesus, Savior, Christ, the anointed of God, the one that was promised to come and take away the sin of the world. And that's exactly who he was, and that's who he called out to be. He also called him Lord in Matthew 20. He says, Thou Son of David. And he cried out, Have mercy on me. So many times in life we feel like maybe life hadn't been fair to us. We didn't feel like somebody's treating us fair. We're not getting the respect. Things are not working out the way that we ought to have them work out. I'm telling you, if we really looked at what we deserve and what the Lord has given us, it and every one of us been so wonderfully blessed that mercy has and God's grace has been so, so good to us. God's mercy has kept from us that which we deserve. God's grace has given to us that which we don't deserve. What Jesus merited and earned, He gave to us. And what we had deserved, He took in His own body away from us. So that the payment of Jesus on the cross of Calvary not only supplies unto us the mercy of Almighty God, that He can justly be merciful to us, but also the amazing grace of God so abundantly blessing us. Naturally speaking, we're blessed beyond any people that have ever lived on planet Earth as you look down through time. America has been so richly blessed, and we've turned our back from the very one who's blessed us so greatly. May we as God's children in this country not be guilty of that, but may we remember to thank Him every day for all that He supplied unto us. Be thankful for the home you're living in. Be thankful for the car that you're driving. Be thankful for the job that the Lord has given to you. Be thankful for the measure of health that you have. No, you may not have this, but think of the whole list of what you do have. Can you not say with Bartimaeus that we've been greatly blessed and cry unto Jesus, God, be merciful. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. And he said, have mercy on me. And then verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Listen, if there are many that if they could, they'd shut up all the preaching that's going on in this world. They'd have no one declaring the name of Jesus. If they could, they would have you shut your mouth about who your Lord is and how good He's been to you. They would rather you not say anything about that. Don't say anything about Him. There are some who don't believe that He is what you believe that He is and don't see it. And they don't want to hear that. They find it an offense. They hear the preaching of the cross. And it said in one place it was foolishness unto the world. And unto the Jews it was a stumbling block. And unto the Gentiles it was foolishness. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto those whom He's called, it's the power of God. Listen, God's little children here in this world are hungry and faint and poor. And they need to hear about their help. and their strength. And you can be of a great help to God's little children as you cry unto the Lord for mercy. You can be an encouragement. What that little sister said out of her mouth, that make a joyful noise unto the Lord all ye lands, was an encouragement to me. And when you do that as you go out into this world, take the name of Jesus with you. It's a great encouragement to those around you. And Jesus, it says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. If you start naming the name of Jesus, there'll be a lot of people that tell you to keep quiet. And sometimes we say, well, nobody's telling me to keep quiet. Well, you better examine what you're saying. Because if the world is in agreement with all that comes out of your mouth, and you find no one upset with what you're saying, then I dare say that we have ceased to be saying the things that the Lord would have come from our lips. We are to give him the praise. Listen, for everything that's good in our life, we ought to be giving him the praise. I love it when old Baptist preachers, when they're told, and others that are when they've made an effort to preach, and someone has found it to be a blessing, and they said that preaching was a blessing to me. I love it when I hear, give the Lord the praise. I love it when I come to a brother who's offered a prayer, and I say, the Lord really blessed you with that prayer. You really spoke what was in my heart and in my desire unto the Lord, and you honored God in that prayer. And that brother would say, you give God the glory and to God the praise. I say, when we get downstairs and we eat the beef stew, or we eat whatever's down there to partake of, whatever it might be, that we would remember that in that we are also to give God the praise. When somebody says, are you a good driver, Brother Bobby? You're nice to be around and good to be around, and I believe all those things. You remember that if it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't be there. And give God the praise. And I'm telling you, there'll be some say, you talk about God way too much. Oh, dare say we would all be willing to talk about our Savior and give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And whatever it is that you're doing, you have a responsibility to remember from whom all blessings flow and to give Him the honor and the praise. This church ought to do that. The membership ought to do it individually. And each and every one of God's children will find it a great blessing to give Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And when they say, you're talking too much, hold your peace, you just keep on crying out. That's what blessed Bartimaeus did. And he found a great benefit in doing it. He said, and when he charged, it charged him and stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal. And I love the language of the Bible. He didn't just keep on. He kept on. He really got worse. God's little children, if they tell us to get quiet, we ought to get louder. Be more. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm talking about as a little child of grace, humbly before Almighty God. Remember, I wouldn't have a mouth if the Lord hadn't given me that mouth. And may that mouth be found praising the Lord. I wouldn't have hands that could move. And so if I'm going to use them, may it be to the glory and the honor of praise, of praising God. I wouldn't have feet to be able to walk. If I'm going to use them, let them be in the service of Almighty God. And I know we're involved in many activities in this world, but the Bible says, and whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And whatever you're doing, whatever it is, we ought to do it in such in a way and in a manner that we're doing it as unto the Lord. And when we do it as unto the Lord, we won't be complaining and murmuring about it, will we? We remember to whom we're doing it to and for. And many charged him he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal. And he said the same thing. He called him Jesus and Lord, thou son of David. He says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 49 says something so very important. When you cry unto the Lord, somebody said, does the Lord hear me? Does the Lord respond when I'm calling upon the Lord? Listen, you got trouble. Don't just try to solve it yourself. You take it to the Lord. You got a problem, you take it to the Lord. You got a burden, you lean upon the Lord. And when the Lord answers that burden, you acknowledge it was the Lord. You give the Lord the praise. Listen, it wasn't just some idea or some thought that blessed us. It wasn't some effort on our part. It wasn't our faith. It just in something in general. We have faith. If you have it, the faith is based in someone. It's based in Jesus. He is the object of our faith. Faith that's based on an idol is simply idol worship and is not pleasing and honoring unto God. Faith in some idea, some thought, is just it could be egotistical. It could be based in many things, but it's not serving God. Faith that's in the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of God, and it comes from God. And brethren, that's what we need to operate on. That's what blessed Bartimaeus was operating on. And he says, when he cried unto Jesus, it says Jesus stood still. And to think about that, the God who made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. That Word was made flesh, made manifest in the flesh, and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. That was the one who in Him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Jesus. That's the one, Emmanuel, God with us. That little babe that was born in a manger, the angels of heaven came down and sang praises to Him. You know why? Because He was greater than any angel. That's Jesus. And this Jesus, walking along the highway, stood still for a beggar who was on the side of the road, blind. No benefit to Jesus. Somebody said, what benefit would He have to Jesus? I'm telling you, Jesus loved him with an everlasting, eternal love. And when that little one that he loved cried out unto him and called unto him, Jesus heard him. And when he heard him, he stood still. Everything else took a secondary seat. And that little child became a focus of his attention. He stood still. I'm telling you, you don't think Jesus doesn't stand still for His children today? That God the Father doesn't stand still and hear the cries of His children? The Bible says His angels stand beholding His face, awaiting the direction of Almighty God to intervene in the lives of His people. How much more does the cries of God's elect get the ear of God, Almighty God? And we cry unto the Lord, as blessed Bartimaeus did, and Jesus stood still. Now listen, he didn't stand still because he needed Bartimaeus. Jesus stood still because Bartimaeus needed him. God doesn't hear me because he needs me. He hears me because I need him. And he had a love for me and a love for you and a love for his children. If you love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. And if he has a love for you, it's an eternal, everlasting love. And nothing can separate you from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Can you imagine what a good message that was to Bartimaeus' ear? What a good message it is. I hope it's a good message in your ear. If you're hungry and faint and poor, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do you have troubles in your life? Do you have needs? Do you have problems? The answer to that is clearly all of us. If the Lord has blessed you with faith to know that Jesus is indeed Jesus, which means He's the Savior. And if the Lord has blessed you with faith to understand that He's Lord, which means He's in charge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who has all power. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth, that He might give eternal life to as many as the Lord hath given Him. And He has the power to give those things that we stand in need of. And when we call unto Him, if you have that faith, and you cry unto Him, and when you cry unto Him, He hears our cry, and He answers us in accord with His will. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. That's what preaching says to you. The Bible didn't say, scare ye, my people. It says, comfort ye, my people. Some people are in the job of trying to scare God's children, trying to scare them. And in order to keep them going, to get them moving, they scare them. And then in order to keep them going, they keep them scared. Listen, I don't want to scare you today. I tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God works that fear in your heart. What the gospel does is come and comfort the hearts of God's little children, to let you know that what a friend we have in Jesus. And he said this, he said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And I love to see the response of blessed Bartimaeus. Listen, he didn't have his eyesight at this time, but he had his legs. And he was ready. He was what he had, he was willing to use. And God had given him not only the willingness to use them. Remember, if he'd have just had them naturally, they wouldn't have been worth anything. Because his feet would be swift to shed blood. And what is that it says in Romans 3? kind of quoted all around it, probably misquoted some of it, but let's just read it and see what a mess we all are in. And Bartimaeus was in that same mess. In Romans 3, it says this. Yes, it's their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 15. This is the shape we're in. Verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Listen, Bartimaeus wasn't getting up in order to shed blood. Bartimaeus was getting up to come to mercy's door. He was getting up to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was getting up to see this one who had bid him to come. And listen, he would have never done that had God not done something already to his feet. He had worked on him. He had worked on the inside out. He had already touched his life and allowed him to see that it was worth, that he was worthy to be praised and honored and looked to for all that he stood in need of. And he says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We go back over to Mark 10. Wow, I'm sorry. Very quickly. And he, casting away his garment, rose. He commanded him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, he got whatever was in the way. I say to you, if whatever's in the way, whatever's hindering you, whatever's a hindrance to you, whatever it is, I can't tell you what that is, but if there's anything that's hindering you from taking up your cross and following your Lord, He is your help and your hope and your strength and your ability and your light and all. He is our all in all. And listen, if anything starts in our life getting in the way of our service to God and seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness before anything else, it needs to be removed from our life. Whether it's me removing something or you, it needs to be removed. And he says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He let his petition be made known unto the Lord. Now this doesn't mean that everybody who asks the Lord anything is going to get exactly what you ask for. We've known by our own examples and by our own life that that's just not the case. There are sometimes you and I ask amiss. We don't ask that which is in accord with God's will. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we ask amiss because it's something we want rather than what God would have for us. But when we ask things in accord with God's will, listen, He will provide to us every time those things and answer to our prayers that are in accord with His will, and it'll be that which is good for us. And in this case, it was one of the things that testified that Jesus indeed was the Christ. It says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And then he just didn't go on his own way. I ask you, has the Lord allowed you to see? Has the Lord opened your eyes? Has the Lord unstopped your ears? Has the Lord touched your heart? Then what are we to do in response to that? We're to follow Him in the way. Not our way, but thy way. Not our will, but thy will be done. Sorry I've taken more time than probably I should have this morning, but I appreciate your kind attention and your prayers. And please continue to pray for me when you ever mind. We love you. Thank you.